I like being alone. I like being alone for a few days. But at some point, here, if I'm just going to be honest, at some point, I have to connect with people, right? Even though I like being alone for a few days, at some point, I want to see somebody that I like. Not somebody that I don't like, but see somebody that I like. I want to hang out with some people. If you've ever been someplace that's really fun or cool, it's not fun or cool unless you go with somebody. How many of you guys have ever been to the beach? Anybody? Been to the beach? Okay, how fun would it be to go to the beach by yourself? Some of you guys are like, yeah, it'd be blast. It'd be whatever. I'm trying to do the other point. The other side of it is going to the beach alone, not so fun. I mean, you can play in the sand so long by yourself. How many of you guys have ever been to the National Finals Rodeo? Anybody in the National Finals? Yeah, a bunch of you have been. I mean, again, going to the National Finals, if you go by yourself, it's okay. But, you know, if you get to experience that with somebody, then it makes the experience so much better. And so here's the thing. We can go places, we can experience things, but if we don't experience them with other people, then they're not that, you know, again, they're not that fulfilling. But here's the other side of the truth. While God has blessed us with, again, human relationships, with being able to enjoy and experience things together, here's the point that I want you to get. There is no greater satisfaction than a life shared with Christ. Amen? That'd be a good point to, you know, say amen. There is no life, there's no better life than a life that is shared with Christ. Amen. And because here's the thing, this is a true statement. Human love, human relationships are only so fulfilling. And then at some point, they're going to let you down, right? But here's the truth. Jesus, when you have a personal relationship with him, when you join the ride with him, guess what? The hope, the peace, the security, the fun. Some of you guys don't think, you know, church is fun. We like to have fun. The excitement, the fulfillment that he brings to the table far outweighs any human experience that I've ever had. I'm just telling you. It's just the truth. And again, not only does Jesus satisfy me personally, but every relationship that I have becomes better because he's involved in it. Does that make sense? And so that's what we're going to talk about a little bit today. And I want to say this again. This is not a self-help series. This isn't 10 ways to have a better life in 10 days. No, this is being able to, again, get the most out of life on this ride with the Savior of the world, because he changes everything. He changes everything. And you say, okay, Bo, so how do we get the most out of our life with Christ? Well, I want to recap a couple things that we've already said. Number one is this. We must realize that this ride is an adventure. It's an adventure. When you join Christ, when you give your life to him, when you begin to serve him, you sign up for an adventure. Some of you guys, again, you're not so adventurous. You need to realize that Jesus is adventurous, and he wants to take you on journeys and to places you've never been. You just have to be willing to go. Jesus was adventurous himself. I mean, again, he walked on water. He turned the water into wine at the wedding feast. I mean, he did some amazing things. I believe that Jesus laughed his head off. I do. Some people want to look at Jesus and they want to go, well, he's just this, you know, this soft, tender guy with his sheep in his, you know, arms and just standing there. If I was a painter, I wouldn't paint Jesus that way at all. I'd paint him laughing his head off. You know it? I mean, right, why not? I mean, because again, we don't look at him that way, but he was adventurous. The book of Ecclesiastes is the book that we've been looking at, and Solomon was the writer of it. Solomon was the wisest man in the world. He was the richest man in the world. But here's the thing. He concluded that this ride that we're on can be monotonous, predictable, and boring until you add God to the mix, until Jesus is a part of it. Then it becomes an adventure. Number two is this. This ride is a gift. This life that you get to live is a gift. Again, so many people come to church and they're just a fuddy-duddy. They just want to, you know, they want to think, you know, church is boring. They want to do all this stuff. But here's the truth. If you've been given eternal life, you have been given the greatest gift that you can be given. It's a gift. But here's the thing. This life is a gift, and I don't know about you, but and I think I said this before. If I give somebody a gift, I expect them to do two things with that gift. Number one, I expect them to enjoy it, right? I want them to enjoy it. Number two, I expect them to use it. I mean, again, you've been to those people, that you buy them a gift, and you go back to their house in like 3 months, and the gift's still in the box. I get ticked off. Anybody else? I mean, I'm going to spend $100 on you. You better use that stinking gift, and you better enjoy it, dadgummit. You know what I'm saying? But the truth is, this life is a gift as well, and God has asked us. He said, guess what? I want you to enjoy this life. I want you to not only enjoy it, but I want you to be used. I want to use you to make a difference in this world. And so this life is a gift, and we got to enjoy it. We got to be used by God. And so today I want to, again, pick up with another way that we can make the most out of our ride with Christ. Number three is this. Ready? Anybody taking notes? I don't see any pens. Got, yes, over here. I actually, you know, on those orange cards, I announced this to the first service. On those orange cards, it has a little spot on there that says, jot it down. That's an encouragement to what? Jot it down. Because again, when you write things down, you remember them better. I say that all the time, but it's so true, at least for me. But here's number three. Ready? Anybody ready? This ride is a school. This ride that we are on is a school. Now, I want you to watch one of the greatest clips from one of the greatest movies. This movie has John Wayne in it. Can I get an amen on that? It is called The Cowboys, okay? The Cowboys. Now, John Wayne, I'll set the scene up. John Wayne, he's needing to drive all of his herd of cattle to Belfouche, right? That's the name of the town. He's going to go to Belfouche, and he doesn't have any hands that are worth, you know, having to help him get those cattle to Belfouche. So he has to go recruit some kids, and this is where we pick up the clip.
Oh, you're having difficulty seeing the board? Homer, Bob, why don't you take these slates and pads, put them underneath the board, raise it up, so that everyone can see the lower lines. Excuse me. There. Now, there, that's much better. Thank you, boys. When you've copied your assignments for the week, you may all go home.
I'd like to talk to these boys before class breaks up, if you don't mind.
Do you wish to address the young ladies as well?
No, I don't think so. I've nothing to say to young ladies.
Then we bow to the fact that it's a man's world and leave you to it. Girls?
I don't expect to get to Belfouche with one single head of beef. But I'm cornered. So I'm taking you on. Now, this is the way it's going to be. I'm a man and you're boys. Not cowmen, not by a side. Nothing but cowboys, just like the word says. And I'm going to remind you of it every single minute of every day and night. This is the 00. This is Belfouche. In between is 400 miles of the meanest country in the West. And the only way we're going to get through is if you take orders. Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
Bring a bedroll, a couple of good ropes, horse if you got one. You'll get the best food in the territory, no rest, little sleep, and 50 big silver dollars if we make it to Belle Fouche. Now you'll show up at my place first Monday after school's out at 5 a.m. and come with grit teeth, because, gentlemen, that's when school really begins.
Mr. Anderson?
Yeah?
All of us?
Come here. Anybody that tall?
Yeah, isn't that a great movie? Now I don't know if you know who that kid was in the last part of that movie, but that's Clay O'Brien Cooper. Anybody know who that is? Clay O'Brien Cooper, he's won multi-world championships in the team roping, so he's actually a real cowboy, but he was an actor as well. But anyways, that was the school scene in the movie The Cowboys. And again, John Wayne's in a bind. I mean, he has to have all these hands, and he needs some, you know, people. So he comes to this school, and he says, "Guys, I'm taking you on." Did you see their, you know, they were excited. In the next scene, they all show up, and they've got, like, six shooters on, you know. They got their jackets on, all new hats on, and they're coming because they're just excited because they get to ride on this herd and, you know, or take this herd to Belle Fouche and have an exciting time. But here's the thing. Mr. Anderson, he knew that they needed to have some experience, so that's why he took them with him, right? He was a wise man. He had a lot of cow sense, and so he knew that he could teach them some great things. Well, you know, in the scripture, Solomon was the same way. Solomon was a great teacher. He wrote lots of books. I mean, he wrote the book of Proverbs. I mean, some of the wisest sayings ever written down. I want you to listen to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And in this scripture, Solomon, he talks about himself as a teacher as well. And it says this. It says, "Keep this in mind. The teacher was considered wise, and he taught the people everything he knew. He listened carefully to many proverbs, studying and classifying them. The teacher sought to find just the right words to express truths clearly. The words of the wise are like cattle prods, painful but helpful. Their collected sayings are like a nail-studded stick with which a shepherd drives the sheep. But my child," listen to this, "but my child, let me give you some further advice. Be careful. For writing books is endless, and much study wears you out." Can I get an amen? Much study wears you out. But here's the truth. That's the whole story. Here now is my final conclusion. Listen to this. "Fear God and obey his commands. For this is everyone's" what? Everyone's duty. Now listen to this. When it comes to this ride being being a school, there are a few things that we can learn. Number one is this. This ride is a school, we must experience it. We must experience it. Now, I want to explain something to you. I didn't like school. Anybody with me? You know, you didn't like school. Thank you. It's okay. How many teachers are in the house today? I'm going to offend all of you. I'm going to offend every one of you because I didn't like school. But not all teachers are created equally. But some of the teachers, I'm correcting myself because I said all of the teachers last time. Some of the teachers were kind of boring, okay? Here's what I noticed about school. A lot of my school or a lot of the schooling that I got was either, it was heard or watched, right? I mean, you go to a lecture, you get to hear or you get to watch something, you know, or, you know, you just kind of learn, you know, by hearing and watching. But here's what I've learned about myself. I am, and I learned this key word, I'm a kinesthetic learner. Anybody know what that word is? Hands-on, right? See, I learned something in school. It's hands-on. It's actually doing something to learn it. That's the way that I learned. I can't just sit there and watch something. You know, I actually have to, you know, put my hands on it. I have to experience it. Here's the truth. You can read all you want about something, but until you actually put it to work, it's worthless. I can read about how to play golf, but until I get on the golf course, I'm not going to learn how to play golf. I can read about how to rope, but until I get out there and I rope, it's worthless. I'm not going to learn how to rope until I experience it, right? And so here's the thing. Mr. Anderson, he knew what the best teacher was. It was experience. And this is why he took them on. And in his own way, again, he was a teacher. He taught these kids how to be boys. Solomon's the same way. Listen to what Solomon says. He says, I'm wise. I've taught a lot of people. I've even wrote a lot of books. But in verse 12 and 13, listen to it again. But my child, let me give you some further advice. Be careful. For writing books is endless, and much study wears you out. That's the whole story. Here's my final conclusion. Fear God and obey his commands. Fear God and obey his commands. Now listen. We are on a ride with Christ, okay? Now, here's the truth. I can read all I want. Even the Bible, I can read it. I can go to college and I can learn about philosophy. I can learn about, you know, theology. I can learn about eschatology. I'm trying to use big words so I can impress you. But I can learn all about that stuff. But it's not until I actually put my knowledge to work that it becomes something that is relevant and something that I can actually learn from. Does that make sense? It's called experience. It's called, you know, it's called doing something. It's like they said, you know, in the scripture, it's our duty. We've got to carry something out. Now listen, James 1:22 says this, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." Do what it says. Here's what I believe. I believe that God wants to take everyone that's here on an experience if they're willing to go. I believe it. I'll give you a few of the experiences that I've been on in my life. I felt like God led me to go to college. I've been to college. I do have a degree. I know that surprises you. I have a degree, and I'm actually halfway through with my master's. So, and I hate school. But here's the thing. I felt God, you know, he led me to go to college. But then after that, he led me through some awesome experiences. One summer, while I was in college, I was able to go back to my home church and be a youth intern. Okay, I was a youth intern. So I worked under my youth minister and I helped him lead our youth group. And we got to go to Jamaica. Woo! VBS, baby. We taught VBS, Vacation Bible School, to Jamaicans. It was awesome. Jamaica me crazy. I mean, it was fun. I think I got offered, dope there, by the way. It was fun, too. No, I didn't take it, but it was fun that I got offered that. But anyways, one summer while I was in college, also, I went to Pennsylvania. And I was a summer missionary there, and we would knock on doors, and we would ask people if they were interested in starting a new church or, you know, coming to be a part of a Bible study. And so I got to be, you know, a missionary in Pennsylvania. One summer in college, this is the third summer, I got to go to a Christian camp called Pine Cove, a sports camp, and I got to work with teenagers, you know, teaching them sports and teaching them about the Lord. Then after Pine Cove, I actually graduated from college. I went to Copper Mountain Ski Resort, and I worked at the ski resort, and I got to ski every day. Can I get an amen on that? That's kind of fun. Anybody been snow skiing? Yeah, it's a blast. Well, I got to go experience that. After I went to Copper Mountain and I worked there for a ski season, I actually got to go to Israel. Okay? I didn't go to Israel, Texas. I went to the state of Israel. Is it a state? It's a state. I think I had this argument in the first service. It's the state of Israel. And so I got to see where Jesus walked. I got to river raft in a river raft down the Jordan River. I've climbed the Mount of Olives. I've walked the Via Dolorosa. I've seen it all. I've experienced it all. Everything I get to read about in the Word of God, I get to put sight to that. You know why? Because I stepped out on faith. I went by myself. My pastor at the time had gone over, and he had been working with some missionaries over there, and he called me and said, "Bo, you ready to get off the ski slopes?" And I said, "Sure." I go, "Where do you want you know me to go?" He said, "Why don't you go to Israel?" And I said, "Holy crap, I'm going to Israel." So yeah, we raised some money. I went to Israel. I spent 10 weeks there. And it was awesome, and it was a great time. But here's the truth: we cannot experience the most out of life with Christ until we take a step of faith. I mean, again, could I have gotten shot in Israel? Did my mom cry when I said I'm going to Israel? Yes. I mean, did everybody think it was, you know, some weird, you know, not weird, but just something that was risky because you're going over there and there's always battles and wars and everybody's carrying guns and all that stuff? Yes, but it was exciting to me. Because I get to experience something. Again, some of you guys are here today and you're walking with Christ, but you're not experiencing anything with him. You've never taken a step of faith for him. You read your Bible, which is awesome. You come to church, which is awesome, but you've never taken a step of faith and actually done what the Bible tells you to do. You've never really experienced God working in your life. It's one thing for God to work in your life, but it's another thing for God to work through your life. Does that make sense? And so this life is a school. We are called to experience it, not just study it. Number two is this. This ride is a school. Learn your lessons. This ride is a school, learn your lessons. The cowboys in the movie, listen, they had to go through some hard times. Guess what happened? I'm going to spoil it if you have never seen it. One of their buddies, one of the little boys dies. And actually John Wayne dies. I just spoiled the whole movie, sorry. But anyways, they had to go through these hard times, right? I mean, there was cattle thieves. They steal the cattle herd. And the boys, you know, they have to take care to, you know, get the cattle back. Right? They have to go through these hard times. Here's the truth. In this life, on this ride with Christ, you are going to go through hard times. It's not always easy. But and you may experience maybe the loss of a loved one. Maybe you've experienced the loss of a marriage or the loss of a job, or you've been betrayed by somebody, or you found out maybe you had a disease. Listen, these are the things, and they're found in this school of life. And here's what I've learned. Ready? You can respond two ways to the school of life. Number one, you can resist it or you can embrace it. I don't know about you, but I like to tend to resist it. When things get hard, when I'm actually going through a hard time, my tendency is to want to resist it and to turn and run away from it. But here's what I've learned. It's only in the times that I actually embrace the pain, that I embrace the struggle, that I embrace the experience, that I learn the lesson. It's when I run from it that I have to go back to school. Does that make sense? I mean, seriously, we don't like school. We don't like, you know, having to take all these tests and go through these trials and all this tribulation. But until we embrace what we're having to go through and we actually learn the lesson, then we have to go to school again. We have to learn it all over again. I'll tell you a few things, and I call these things brutiful because they were beautiful, but they were brutal. When I was a youth intern, like I said, that summer, we went on a ski trip and we took like 137 teenagers. I was the youth intern, and guess what happened? My youth minister, Billy, the guy that was, you know, in charge, he shattered his ankle. He ran into a tree and he turned his ankle and he shattered it. So guess who they put in charge of the whole deal? The youth intern. So I've got 137 kids on this mountain, and I'm trying to keep them all alive. I'm like, just stay off the black diamonds. Just stay on the green slopes, please. Go eat. I'll buy, you know, eat wherever you can. I mean, I didn't know what I was doing, but it was a time where I got to learn a lesson. I got to learn something. When I went to Pennsylvania, I slept, you think, well, that's just awesome. I mean, you had a great time there. I slept on the floor of a nursery for 3 months. I mean, we got doors slammed in our face all the time. I mean, we'd walk up to a door and we'd be like, "Hey, you know, we're from, you know, we're on a mission trip and we're trying to help start Bible studies." Slam. It was beautiful. When I went to Israel, when I first got there, they put me up in this church in Jerusalem. And I guarantee you, it was a cell. I could put my hands out like this and I could touch both walls. There were bars. I don't know what they were thinking. Maybe I was a thief or something. But anyways, I could put my hands like this on the walls, and there was bars on the walls. They moved me out of there because I was like, man, I'm going to go stir crazy if I got to stay in this place. So they moved me out of there. He put me in this open air kind of a bunkhouse, and I was sleeping on a bunk bed in the open air with, you know, all kinds of stuff. I woke up one day, and I had a rat chewing on my hair. That was awesome. The next night, I woke up, and the rat was chewing on my elbow. Yeah, and to make it all worse, I was dating this girl when I left, and she broke up with me when I was in Israel. Ever been there? Yeah, I mean, it couldn't have got any worse. I mean, there were more days where I hated being there than I loved being there. You know why? Because God, here's the truth, and here's what I've learned, and I've learned a lot of lessons, and I still learn a lot of lessons from this terrible time. You think, well, it's just a beautiful place. Here's what I learned. Happiness is not in a place, it's in a person. I can go to Israel, I can walk where Jesus walked, I can experience all the beautiful things, but if I'm not experiencing it for the glory of God, then it's worthless. And again, yes. So here's the thing. I went there, I didn't have, and I was, again, I had a reputation in our youth group as the leader. I was, you know, in college, I was the leader, I was all these things, but God took me to Israel to strip all that away from me and to make me rely on him. And I guarantee you, I cried more than I laughed when I was in Israel. He broke me. He broke me. But here's the thing. I've learned a lot of lessons. Here's what I've always said, because there's a lot of sand there. There's a lot of desert there. And you think that things don't grow in the desert. There are tons of things that grow in the desert. Even in the deserts of life, there are things that can grow. If you will embrace the experience and learn your lesson. Because here's the truth. I can preach this all I want. I can preach, go out and win the lost. I can preach, go out and take a step of faith. I can preach it all I want. But until I walk out of here and I actually put the things that I'm telling you into action, they're pointless. They're pointless. I mean, again, you think, well, I've got to go through all this stuff to learn all that. Yes, you do. And it's okay. It's okay. You know why? Because every place I've ever been, because I have a relationship with Christ, Christ has been there with me. He's been there with me. You say, can you find joy in that? Yeah, you can. Romans 5, verses 3 through 5, it says, we can rejoice. 2, that when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character. And character strengthens our confident hope in salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with love. Here's the thing. What was the reward for the cowboys when they got to Belfouche if they got the cattle there? Does anybody remember? Yeah, 50 silver dollars. 50 silver dollars. Now listen, if we will step out in faith, if we will enjoy this ride, if we will see it as a gift, and if we will experience it, and if we will allow God to teach us some lessons, guess what? We are going to receive a great reward. If we join him, if we give our lives to him, if we actually step out and we experience what he wants us to experience, we will receive a great reward. Now, here's the thing. I do not work for the Lord so that I can work my way into heaven. I get to go to heaven because I've trusted in Jesus. Amen? He paid the price so that I didn't have to. But here's the thing. One of these days, we are going to walk into those pearly gates. And the things that we did for the Lord, they're going to be crowns so that we can lay them at his feet. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go to heaven empty-handed. And so here's the lesson. Are you experiencing a relationship with Christ, or you just kind of go through the motions? Are you embracing the things that he's trying to teach you, or are you resisting them? Because there are some great lessons that you can learn when you embrace what he's trying to teach you. I want to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes for just a second. Some of you you're here today, and you have never experienced a personal relationship with Jesus. And so the first thing that maybe you need to do is you need to say, okay, Lord, I know that you want to be a part of my life. I know that you want to give me a true life, a blessed life, a life where I don't have to be alone, a life that I can share with you, a powerful life, a life that can change the lives of others. But I don't know you. Maybe that's you right now. You're thinking that in your heart and in your mind. I don't know this Jesus. Listen. Life does not begin until you find a relationship with Jesus. 1 John 5:12 says this: he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. And so again, maybe you're here today and you've never experienced the forgiveness of Jesus. You never experienced the love of Jesus. You've never experienced the Holy Spirit working in your life. Listen, the first step for you is you need to accept him as your Lord and Savior. Right there in your seat, maybe you just need to pray this simple prayer in your heart. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know you died on the cross. And I know you rose from the dead. And I'm asking you to forgive me of my sin and come into my life. I want to experience this life that you have in store for me. Listen, maybe you just prayed that prayer for the first time in your entire life. Jesus promises that he will come into your life if you've prayed that prayer. And so we rejoice that you've made a decision to follow him today and to give him your life. It's the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And now it's time to enjoy the adventure. Now it's time to look at life in a different way, to begin to live your life to honor him, to glorify him, and to live for him so that you can experience the most out of this life. And so here's the truth. Maybe you just prayed that prayer for the first time. Here's all we ask you to do. Fill out that orange card, place it in one of these yellow buckets so that we can come alongside of you and help you learn what the next step is in this ride with Christ. You say again, I don't have a card. I don't know what happened to it. Just text your name to the number on the screen and we will contact you. It's that simple. We're not going to embarrass you. We don't want, you know, you to turn all that stuff in so we can pad numbers or do any of that stuff. We want to come so that we want you to share that with us so that we can come alongside of you and help you in this ride. So please do that. Maybe you're here today and you're a Christian. You've been a Christian maybe since you were a kid, or, you know, you've been a Christian for a long time. Some of you, again, you read the Bible, you come to church, you do the church thing, but you've never really stepped out on faith and done something that would bring glory to God or that would, you know, again, maybe it'd be a big step for you. Listen, my challenge to you today is give God every part of your life, whether it's your job, whether it's your marriage, whether it's your kids, whatever it is, whether it's school, give him every part of your life. And don't just read about him, experience him. Maybe you're here today and you think, Bo, I'd like to go on a mission trip. I'd like to, you know, go do something, you know, adventurous for the Lord. How do I do that? Listen, our church will help you do that. Our church will help you experience God in a new and special way, whether it's on a mission trip or just serving in our church. So please let us know that you're ready to experience God, not just study about him. But maybe you're here today and you're a Christian and you need to say, God, I'm ready. Maybe you just need to make that commitment in your heart. Make this your prayer. Lord, I'm ready to experience you. I want to do this life for you, not just for myself. I'm ready to be used by you. Listen, if you will just pray that, God will show up and the adventures will begin. And again, if he shows you something that he wants you to do and we can help, we want to be able to do that. And so remember, this life is a school. This ride is a school. You need to experience it and you need to learn your lessons for the glory of God. Lord, we just come to you right now and I thank you. I thank you for what you've taught me in the beautiful times of my life. I thank you for what you have taken us through, all of us through, because it's strengthened us. And we just pray that it's brought glory to your name. And Lord, as we leave this place, may we not just walk out of here going, well, you know, I just, you know, did my church thing and then the rest of the week we don't live for you. I pray that we would live for you every waking moment so that you can be glorified and so that lives can be changed. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity and I pray that you would just continue to move in our church for your glory. It's in your holy name I pray. Amen. Thank you guys for being here. Enjoy the sunshine today.
Thank you for listening to this message from Pastor Bo Haig at Thousand Hills Ranch Church in Woodward, Oklahoma. Please join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. at the Woodward Livestock Auction.